We're holding in Perek Tet Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. So we're still talking about these various types of basket weaves. There are also kinonim, kitanim, and kilatot. And these are basically baskets, except they are made like funnels, and they are used for making sure, you know, like they use in the buses to get the right size coins and the right size holes. So only the correct size coin will fall into that. So they would use this also for sifting different size beans and so on. So they would be shaped in a way that only the right size would go through it. And a small kalatat isha are like a little jewelry holders. So over there, they become tame again, mishiyachzom yekanev, when you make the rim and you snip off anything that's sticking inside or outside, just like the other ones. So we've been talking about things that were made through basically weaving. Remember, you started off with the warp, and then we talked about the woof. But there are other types of baskets. And these are baskets where you make kinonim. You take a cord and you make the cord. Now, I do have one of those too. That's what I wanted to show you. So these are the kinonim agidolim. You'll note the way that they're made underneath. It's basically a rope that is wound round and round again and again. And then you put a thread through the rope to hold it to make sure it doesn't unwind. When you get to the end here, you start winding a rope around the other direction. And that goes up along the side. You do the same thing round and round. You keep bringing the rope up. If you look carefully, you can see the stitching that holds it together. That's what we're referring to over here, as opposed to weaving. So these are made by coiling. So the kinonim agedolim and the sugin agedolim, these are giant bins like that one, which people use for storing grain. So the shear over there is mishiyas shnei durim l'rochav shelahem. This is where, when you have the bottom already fashioned, you make the first two circles around the bottom. Now, the kinonim gedolim, those are not made out of rope, but I didn't have a good one to show you that. Could be, yeah, maybe kan sipor. But, you know, there are a lot of baskets. I'll bet you have some in your own home. There are baskets that are made also by coiling a basket weave. So they look like they're much more designed, and they have like a thicker side where first you make like a long piece of wicker, another long piece of wicker, and so on. And then you coil them around in the same way. So we put these separately. Now, how about a yam nafa? A yam nafa is, we talked about this, is basically a what we would call a sifter. The reason it's called the yam is because you take, you make the mesh from animal hair usually, and then it's called a yam because you have to put it inside the sifter wood, and then you click in the smaller piece of wood, which makes it stick inside. And we talked about the difference between if it's someone who's in the business and has to be easily removable to click back in, or if it's a balabayas. So at what point is it considered to be a completed? Kvara is basically the same idea. It also has a rim, except that it has much bigger holes. The kaf shel moznayim, we have a pan on a scale. You don't need a big container over there. So over there, the shear would be when you have one simple coil around the bottom. So mishiyasidur achad l'rochav shelam, you just want to make things sure that things don't slip out, and that would be enough. So you have a sifter, even if the rim is very, very small, it's just made out of one single round piece, they can already be used, and at that point, so can all of these other things. They're already makabel tuma. Now, how about a kupa, which is a kind of basket that's made from those separate pieces that I spoke about before? You attach one piece of basket weave. Each one is one ring, and then you put that ring, attach it to the lower ring, and sew it in. Mishiyasa states if you wrote the Rokhav Shalah, over there you need a minimum of two rings because these things are not meant just to have a little rim to stop things from flying out. They're meant to actually hold things. An arak is the same idea except that it's square. Mishiyasa bot sfira achat. Over there, it's meant to be shallow. I do have one of those. I just don't want to go run and get it. But those are usually used to serve hors d'oeuvres and things like that. So they'll hold these little kalim inside of them, and then you just pick it up. It's very, very low, and it holds in the glass or the porcelain. That one ring is sufficient. It's beautiful to see how these things are still being used. That's why I'm bringing them in, because it just makes it so much more fun to see things haven't changed much in 1,000 years here and there, you know. Okay, Mishnah Dalet. Klei or, me'ematai mekablim tum'ah. What is considered to be, now that we've talked about these, the kalim of eights, what is considered to be the gemar kli when you're talking about leather? So if you have a tarmil, which is basically a backpack, and this originally was used by shepherds, the way they would do it is they would make a backpack, but the top of the backpack didn't have a top which came over and flipped down and clicked into place. But instead, as we still find, by the way, it was closed by a rope that went around the outside, and then you pulled the rope tight, and then you tied it, and that would prevent things from falling out. So the shear of this would be, Mishi achsom v'yikanev, so over here, we have the same shear. Yachso means like you sew down the edges. So now the edges are complete. There's always little pieces of hair and things that stick out on leather. So you'd also have to be yikanev. You'd cut off those pieces that are sticking out. But also, you'd have to put the strings into the loops that you have in order to facilitate closure. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to actually have the strings. All you need to have is the loops that hold the strings. That's the end of the asiya, because even though you need to put that in order to be able to use it, but the string is never really part of the backpack, and it's often replaced, and therefore it's considered to be a full kli, even though it doesn't have the strings in it. You'll notice that this has applications to the question of inserting your shoelace for the first time on Shabbos, whether that would have a din of makeh bepatish, which is a major sugya. So you buy a new pair of shoes, you forgot to put the shoelaces in before Shabbos. Can you complete the shoe by putting in the shoelace for the first time? It's very nogea, the question over here also, of gemar malacha and makeh bepatish. What about a case of an apron, a sukkurtia? A sukkurtia is this type of thick apron that's made out of leather, and actually it was mostly worn by leather makers. Mishi achson v'yikanei v'yase etzitzata. So here's the same idea. You've got to be able to sew down the edges, cut off the little pieces of hair that are sticking out, and you also attach the belt to it that those were allowed me to hold it onto my body. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, you don't actually need the whole piece. You just need the tabaot that were put in it. The same idea. Barnea is pointing out that skirtia comes from the word skirt. The modern-day skirt is nogea this as well. Thank you. Beautiful. So you don't need to actually have the long string in it. It would be sufficient to have the tabaot through which you put, even in our backpacks we use this, through which you put the belt-like affair or the strap which would hold it on. Same idea. How about a katablia? A katablia, which is usually used on a bed. We also have katablia is used as a covering for a table in the Gemara. Often here we're talking about a bed, and you what they would do is they would have a frame, which then you simply put a thick piece of leather over it, and you could sleep on that. The shear would be again where you yachsom, so you finished it by making a what do you call that? You know, when at the bottom of your pants, what are those called? You've put the material up. Shoot. I can't remember. You know, you fold over. Huh?
Hem.
Who?
Hem.
A hem, right. So you, hem. So you fold it over. What? No. Not a cuff. A hem. So remember, cuffs are maybe old-fashioned at certain times. Depends what time. So if you basically hem it up, so you fold the edges over, you sew it, and then you cut off the pieces of hair that are sticking out. Rabbi Yehuda says, in here, Rabbi Yehuda actually, in this case, he is being makel, right? So he's saying only if you're yased ki chotea, only once it has the strings themselves attached to it, which you're going to tie onto the bed. Because otherwise, if you just put the leather over the bed and you try lying down on it, it'll collapse. You'll find yourself on the floor. So over here, they certainly are part of the actual tabulia. What about a pillow? Or what about a mattress that you lie on, a carv, a keset, that are made out of leather? So over there, you have to first, you fill it up with whatever you're filling it up with, and then you have to sew it shut. So mishiach so means it's completely sewed shut, and you trim the hair. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it can become tame as long as you have a place, small place that is open to put the stuffing into. This is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda before. I don't need it to be completed for use, but I need it to be usable. So misha yitparem, after you're sewing them, but not yachsom, they're not totally shut. V'yishayer ben pachot mi-chamisha tefachim, you've got a little bit of a space that's less than 5 tefachim wide, into which you're able to put in whatever feathers or whatever else it is that's going to use it. That will be sufficient, aliba Rabbi Yehuda, because it doesn't need to be completed. Okay. Next, Mishnah, hey, Perek Tez Zion. So, we said that there's a din of mitaltel mole verekam. The din of mitaltel mole verekam, remember, we said that it can't be arboim sa'ah, and that's sa'ar, sa'atayim biyavesh, and that's too large to carry because most kalim will break apart. We had our special cases of the Bor Svinat Alexandrit and so on. This din is true not only about clay eitz, it's also true about clay etzem and everything that is learned out from those kalim, which are compared to clay sak. So therefore, if you have a petilia, so a petilia is a basket that's made out of twigs from a tree. Those can become tamei because even though they're meant for storing figs, they're never too big to carry and they're meant for carrying. But a chasina, which is large, and it's made out of branches that are much thicker, that is used for storing cement. And that is tahor because you don't move those without breaking them. And because of that, they're not called metalta mole vareka. If you've got signayot shel alin tohorot, they used to make actually from leaves, which obviously don't last very long. And they made them into like a bowl to keep fruit in, to maintain the freshness of the fruit. Those are not considered to be kalim, because they don't last. They simply wither, and they're only there for temporary protection of the food. But if you make them out of nitzarim, which are made out of palm, those last, and they are not considered to be one-time usages. Because of that, they're tamei, because they're kliyets. Chotalot, so a chotal, shenotena tocho venoto mitocho. This is the base of the modern word chitulim as well, where you're talking about a baby diaper. And over here, we're talking about a chotal, which was made out of leaves of the palm. So even though it's palm leaves, what you use it for is you put dates into them that are not yet fully ripened, and they stay in the chotalot until they ripen. Those are considered to be tamei because they are durable. But the types that are made that after the date ripens, you can't get to them anymore because the outside woven palm has become hardened. And the only way that you get the dates out is by ripping it. So that is considered to be a disposable kli. And a disposable kli is not mekabel tuma. And therefore, in eno yochol, if you can't get them out, achi yikraeno, achi yatireno, if you got to take it apart or rip it apart, then it's tar because it's disposable as opposed to a normal kli. This was also one of the issues that Rabbi Moshe took into consideration in his famous psak about whether you're allowed to use paper cups for netilas yadayim. Is a disposable kli, does it have a shame kli bichlal? Okay, now we want to get into another fascinating issue, which is that since all of these are similar to eights, and they're compared in the pasuk, because of that, there's only two possibilities for something that would be made out of leather to be tamei. Either it's clothing, and clothing does not require a base kibbo, because beged, remember, is its own category of Kopeged Or. But if it's a Kli that's made out of Or, then it would have to have a base Kibble. Now the question is, does a base Kibble mean literally a hole in it that you would put water in? Or could it be that a leather Kli is ipso facto a base Kibble because its whole point is that it's designed for holding something? Now, this is a whole new concept of base Kibble that we've never had before. And it turns out that leather gloves can sometimes be considered to be a base Kibble, even though they are not considered to be a beged, because what they are worn for is for two purposes. Now, that's not to say that a leather glove that's worn for cold weather wouldn't have a din of a beged. But what we're talking about over here is leather gloves that are worn for purposes other than be good. And what would that be? Well, very often you may have to do a job that requires you to wear a glove in order for you to be able to hold what you're doing with more strongly than you would with a palm or fingers that get wet with sweat. There's also times where we would want to wear a glove like that for cleanliness purposes to make sure that you don't sweat into whatever it is that you're doing. Now, those were two different purposes, and this Mishnah is mechalik between them. So if you have a kasya is a thick leather glove, and if it was of zorei granot, these are people who are doing winnowing, so they need a glove to hold tight to the shovel that they're throwing the things up into the air, the grain up into the air. Or for people who are walking on the road and they need to keep a firm hold on their skis. Obviously, it's talking about skiing, undoubtedly, or maybe cross-country skiing, but it might be referring to elderly people who need to hold on to a walking stick or something. You know, maybe. Or shall osei pishtan, or people that are working with flax, so they need to bang on the flax, and there, too, they need to hold on tight to a stick. Those things can all be considered to be tummy, meaning that they're makabel tuma, because since you use it as a base kibble for the stick that you're holding, the entire glove is considered to be a base kibble. So it doesn't mean it has to be a water or liquid base kibble. It's a base kibble for, in this case, a stick. And if you're wearing the kind of glove that are worn by people who work with dye or people who work with metal, shel napachim, that is tahor. The reason it's tahor is because the reason that that's worn is for the purpose of making certain that any sweat of the worker is held by the glove and doesn't get into the dye to ruin it and doesn't get into the metal. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the same thing is true if you're working at grinding beans over there. Also, they are worn only to make sure that the sweat doesn't get into the food. The general klal being, he'asui lekabalah tamei. If the whole point is that you hold things with it, it's tamei. If the whole point is b'pnei hazeah, you're holding it only, you're wearing the glove to prevent sweat from getting into something, then it's considered to be tahor. Okay, gentlemen, we made some progress today. Sorry, I ran out of time before we could finish. It should be la'aliyas neshama, and may we hear b'sorot tovot. Everybody take good care of yourself. And kol ha'machala she'samti mi'mitzrayim lo asim alecha. But as I say, we know where it belongs. V'samti al oyvecha. They never will be missed. They never will be missed. And so have a wonderful day. Go to everybody.